Hasselbeck drops the throw. That ball's knocked out of his hand. It is picked up by the Jaguars. That is picked up by Andre Branch. Andre Branch is going to score a touchdown. That's going to be a strip sack, and Andre Branch scores for the Jaguars.
Now dance. Dance all you want.
Rolling right is Bortles. Fires that ball. It's caught by Allen Hurts. Allen stays in bounds along the right sideline. Inside the 30. Inside the 20. Inside the 10. Touchdown, Jacksonville. Bortles to Hurts for the score. And Jacksonville has taken the lead. McAfee stands inside his 10. Rashad at his own 20. Gets it away again. Green fields at the 28-yard line. Tries to run to his right, to the 35, to the 40. Rashad Green in the open field, in the Colt territory. Rashad Green up the right sideline, inside the 20, inside the 10, inside the 5. Touchdown, Jacksonville! Rashad Green has extended the lead for the Jaguars. Dropping, looking, fires into the end zone. That's going to be caught for the touchdown, Allen Robinson. There's the first catch for A-Rob. Touchdown, Jacksonville. Second and goal now from the 3. Bunch formation to the right. Julius Thomas alone to the left. Denard Robinson, the running back. Shotgun for Blake. Takes the snap. Fires a little slant to Julius Thomas. Caught. Touchdown, Jacksonville. Bortles to Thomas for the score. 37-16, Jags lead. Looking to add to it. Shotgun for Bortles. Inside handoff to Denard Robinson. Denard Robinson, touchdown Jaguars. He dove into the end zone.
Would it be greedy right now if I say I want to score 50 on these guys?
Bortles under center. It is a quarterback dive. He's into the end zone, touchdown. Blake took it, dove over the top for the score. And the Jaguars have cracked 50 points.
Well, that's what opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
And Jacksonville will finish off by far the best moment of the Gus Bradley era. Jacksonville 51, Indianapolis 16, a magical day for Jacksonville.
Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host Mike Dempsey and Ryan O'Halloran.
All right, top of the morning to you here, Jaguars Today on St. Paddy's Day, live at Everbank. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Ryan O'Halloran here with you on 1010 XL 92.5 FM. We've got issues already. Tony's trying to be subversive over here, Ryan. Have you seen the shirt? All right.
It's not subversive. It's the only green piece of clothing I own.
He wears a Kelly green shirt, as you might expect a non-Irishman to do on this particular day.
Isn't it just blunt?
What
the sign.
Well, I guess you're right. It's not well. If you from afar, you think, oh, you see, you know, he's getting the Irish.
It's the
spirit.
Only green thing I own.
You get closer. There's a picture of Luigi on there, Super Mario Brothers.
That's Mario.
Mario, whatever, and it says everybody loves an Italian boy.
That's right.
On his shirt, so that's what he's going with. I appreciate the fact that you, as a second generation Irishman, Irish American, are not wearing green today. You know, I'm Irish every day of the damn year. I don't need to wear green on St. Patrick's Day to prove it.
Yeah, I didn't know it was St. Patrick's Day until I was watching the Today program. I saw Matt Lauer with a leprechaun on his suit coat.
He did. I think he had a shamrock. Did he have a shamrock? I saw him early this morning as well.
That's so much. Shows you how much I know.
You didn't. You don't know the difference between a leprechaun and a shamrock?
Well, I meant a shamrock. Leprechaun would be an actual person. He didn't have that.
Well, yeah, an actual living leprechaun. This is the time, Tony, every year I like to tell the story about how you and I were playing golf at Southampton a couple years back. And, you know, the story, if you follow the rainbow to the end, you're supposed to find the pot of gold.
Yeah.
Maybe there'll be a leprechaun hanging around. If you catch him, you get 3 wishes. So goes the tale. You and I were playing golf at Southampton. I want to say it was on the 4th hole, maybe the short par 4. No, the 5th hole. It was the 5th hole, right? There are a bunch of short par 4s out there, but it was the 5th hole, and you make the turn, you come off the green, and you head towards the 6, which is a par 5. For anyone who's played Southampton, they know what I'm talking about. And as you, there's a little, like a little bathroom kiosk right there.
Yeah.
Right? As you get in your cart and you drive, if you look immediately to your left, there's some trees, Ryan. There's some woods, right? The edge of the woods. And I'm telling you, Tony and I saw a rainbow that came all the way to the ground. I mean, full to the ground. Never seen that before in my life. And yes, we did drive over just to check, and nothing was there.
Well, you have to do that.
You had to. We figured, I mean, we'll probably never see that again. Right, we had a cart. It wasn't like it was that far out of our way. It took us 30 seconds.
Lug your cart over there.
Just drive on over. Yeah. And there was no pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Maybe somebody had beaten us to it. I don't know.
So could you reach out, or was it gone by the time
you... You remember, Tony? I mean, we could clearly see it. I think the closer you get, it's like probably the light diffuses or something.
Yeah, it gets a little bit hazy as you get close to it. But, yeah, I mean, we were basically, you could reach out and touch where you thought the end of it was.
Right. We were like 30 yards away. You could see it clearly coming to a full-on stop on the ground. It was pretty cool as far as that goes. Happy birthday to my niece today, by the way. My
happy birthday.
Irish niece, Katie. Katie. Love you. I'll see her next week. She's coming to visit me next week. All right. O'Halloran is fired up today. Tony, he is full of positivity about the Jacksonville Jaguars.
As usual.
Woo-wee. I cannot wait to get into your list of grievances. I feel like it's Festivus. We're going to mix our holidays today.
Where's the poll?
I don't know, but you are going to be airing some grievances, apparently, with the Jags offseason. Since we've spoken last week, right, they've added Prince Mukamara, right? They've added Kelvin Beachum. Who am I missing?
Bernabeu.
is that
how you pronounce him?
Bernadeau.
I thought you were making fun of him based on the conversation we had before the show.
And then the big development since we were last year was they didn't get Vernon.
What day were you in?
In Wednesday.
Okay, so you were on the first day of free agency.
So like,
were you on Wednesday or Thursday?
I was on Wednesday because we were on the air when they removed the tag.
Okay, that's right. All right.
You know, like Ivory.
They had already
and
agreed to Malik Jackson. So basically, the entire class was signed, with the exception we knew Malik Jackson was coming in.
And the punter. Can't forget about him.
Is there something wrong with signing a punter? I mean, it wasn't like he was their primary guy to go out there and spend $20 million on.
Maybe just wait a day.
Why? That's the guy you want. Go make it happen. It didn't keep him from doing it, taking care of any other business. All right. Beyond the last three, then, the first four. I remember talking to you. You didn't feel like they had done much to improve the team at that point in time.
Correct, and I still feel that way. I just think the optics aren't very good in terms of what they've prioritized. You know, people are throwing out an A grade just to get clicks. I think that A stands for asinine. At best, I'd give them a C-, because you look at they have the money to get impact players. And I think the most concerning part is they weren't able to secure some of those guys, which I thought going into free agency they're going to have trouble doing, because you're 5-11. You're 1-5 down the stretch. You were embarrassed in your last couple of games. That's what players talk about as much as right after the money is, okay, if I get paid, do I have a chance to win?
So one guy didn't come here. Malik Jackson didn't seem to care that they struggled down the stretch. He said, hey, $90 million in Jacksonville goes a hell of a long way.
Well, I appreciate Malik's honesty. He's also an outlier in just pointing out that he was going to go to the highest bidder. I think that I said they came into free agency with, and I'm working off my memos here, is pass rusher, starting free safety, number one corner, solidify the interior offensive line starting lineup. They went 2-for-4. I don't think Mukamara is a number one corner, as the one-year deal would suggest.
Which two did they hit on then, in your opinion? Other than safety being one of them, which is the other one?
Well, 1-for-4. I got my math wrong. That son of a biscuit. 1-for-4. They only got a starting free safety. That said, of all the guys they've signed, I like Gibson the best. I think he can have potentially the most impact, because if he can be a sideline-to-sideline player, he does one thing that nobody else on this team does. He catches interceptions. So I like that signing, because I knew he was on their radar for a long time. The pass rusher, still don't have it. I think they're up the creek on that, because it's not a strong draft. Number one corner, Mukamara is not that.
What is he on this team? Is he better than House?
I would say I would put him as a number two on this team.
House being the number one.
Yes. Devon has showed that, you know, Mukamara's injury history, things just keep cropping up.
Okay, but all right, and granted, he has had an injury history, but presuming he stays healthy and plays 16 games this year, talent-wise, you see him as the number two to House.
Until I see otherwise, that's what I put him at. You know, just I would put House as the number one right now because of familiarity, because I just have seen him more. And also, if the Jaguars viewed Amukamara as a number one, they probably would have given him a larger offer. I would think if they said, we got to get this number one guy, he wouldn't even visit it. He would have had a deal done. So, but, you know, I think they're hoping that he turns into the 2013 version of Sendarek Marks, where he signs a one-year prove-it deal, and in December they're talking extension.
I guess my first question, I have a lot based on that, would be, do you have to accomplish all that in free agency? For instance, let's say they end up drafting Vernon Hargraves, right, with the number 5 pick in the draft, just a for instance, right? Or maybe Jalen Ramsey falls to him. I don't know. And he's a corner. Well, you've got a short-term answer and a guy that's played a lot of football in the National Football League, and when healthy, I think still is probably decently regarded, and that's been his struggle, is staying healthy in Amukamara. Does that change your out? I mean, do you think they had to accomplish all of this simply in free agency, or is the draft going to alter your off-season outlook on these guys?
It most likely won't, because the directions they need to go is I finalized my personal list via talking to people here who said, okay, this is what we got to do in free agency. So, you know, finding a number one corner in the draft is difficult. Unless you go at number 5 for a guy, and there probably should be concerns about Vernon Hargraves in terms of how he's built. But I think all these guys, I mean, the moment they drafted Dante Fowler, part of the reason they did it is because the pass rushing draft class is shaped out to be poor.
They projected only one guy to have a first round grade this year, is what they specifically said. That's at least what Dave Cole told us.
And it's most likely, and from where they're picking, there isn't that type of pass rusher worth the 5th pick, at least now, maybe unless they reach. So I would have done everything. I would have done whatever it took to get Vernon.
What? $60 million guaranteed?
Whatever.
What if the Giants match at 70?
Keep going.
100?
Yep.
That's crazy. Yeah. All right. Well, that's your opinion. You're entitled to it. I'm entitled to think that opinion is crazy, but we can talk about that because we've got the next 2 hours to do that. That's just the tip of the iceberg today with Ryan O'Halloran, folks. He's in his typical Mr. Positive Mood.
No, it's called Mr. Realist.
Okay, that's fine. You call it whatever you like.
I like. First of all, what would you have given him for a grade?
Overall, right now, B.
Okay. Well, even you can admit the A is asinine.
Well, that's fine, but I mean, I don't think it's a C minus. I think look, they like to get Olivier Vernon. I think there is a limit, and they didn't get a strictly edge rush piece. You know, although I think Malik Jackson can help the pass rush, and certainly internally, guys coming back healthy can help the pass rush, but we'll discuss as we go along today. The Tom Bush Family Dealerships fan feedback question of the day is this. Congratulations, you've caught a leprechaun. You're granted 3 wishes. What are they in terms of the Jaguars offseason going forward? What are your 3 wishes for the Jaguars to get accomplished or for whatever to happen in the remainder of the Jaguars offseason? Share your thoughts with us on Twitter at MD_1010XL, at Ryan O'Halloran, at 1010XL Fat Tony. Tyler Devitt, we've been hard at work on this March Madness bracket challenge.
Came through, baby.
Boy, he just slung this up there in the last 5 minutes, Tony. So we've got plenty of time.
I had to pull some strings for this one, Mike.
You had to pull strings? How so?
I was so busy, I had JJ to do it for me.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I know you were busy. What were you producing yesterday? JU softball, was it?
JU softball, yeah, doing some PA announcing.
Did their bracket challenge get posted in a timely fashion, at least?
No, their postseason will be coming up, but I'm sure we will have one posted as soon as possible when it's unveiled.
Excellent. So Tyler tweeted it out. I will retweet it. I'm sure Tony will as well. If you want to join the 1010XL March Madness Tournament Challenge on ESPN.com, if you've already got a bracket, you can easily click it on over there on ESPN, or you can fill one out. And you've got about 2 hours to get it done, and we'll give away some Jaguars Today gear to the top performers in the bracket challenge. And eternal bragging rights, of course, which is what everybody plays for. Anyway, so we'll tweet that out to you coming up. All right, Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, Fat Tony here with you. Jaguars Today, 641-1010. Phone lines are open to you. So is the text line. We'll talk Jaguars football for the next 2 hours on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Hey!
don't know. I think we should have been cheered up. Timberlake free zone today. Let him wallow in it today. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran of the Florida Times Union. Fat Tony here with you. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Happy Katie Canfield's birthday. And it is Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. That's my niece, in case you didn't put the connection together. Right there.
I thought you said a different first name.
Happy St. Patrick's Day. Happy Katie Canfield's birthday. My niece doesn't have the same last name as me.
But I could have swore she had a different first name in the first segment.
It was like, Katie then, and Katie now. Caitlin.
Yeah, okay.
Caitlin for long, as we like to say.
Oh, okay.
All right, moving right along. That's fascinating for everybody on the edge of their seat right there. 1010XL, there's a 1010XL bracket challenge. You can probably sign up, I'm guessing, through the website. Is that correct, Tyler?
Yes, and if you go on there and just search Jaguars today, you'll be able to find it, and it's filling up fast.
No, that's on ESPN.
No, you're talking about it on ESPN.
1010XL.
Oh, right. I'm talking about 1010XL on the station.
Sorry about
website.
That. Yeah, I don't know anything about the 1010 bracket challenge.
This kid. Does Indiana play today or tomorrow? I don't even know.
Nice.
He's so distracted.
That's like one of the best moments I've ever heard on this show. I don't know anything about that.
Oh, my goodness. All right, so let's go with the one we do know. We think we know something about.
You can go to 1010XL.com. The bracket challenge should be on the front page.
Is it? I'm looking. I don't see the bracket challenge on the front page. I'm not saying it's not. I just haven't found it yet. Yeah, I'm not seeing it there, Tone.
I'll find it.
I know they tweet. I know you can go to the 1010XL Twitter timeline.
Yeah, if they have the headlines here at the top that you can click through. If you click through them a little bit, it's there.
If you get to the right headline, is what it is. I see the Guggen Open. I see Welcome to Rockville.
It was the third there one, I believe.
Yep, and registration cuts off at 11:50, so get them in.
Get them in. Get them going. Is that for ours as well? Ours as well?
I think ours is at the first tip-off. So what is that, noon? Noon?
Sure. I have no idea. Who's playing in the early games, by the way?
I don't know.
Dukies.
Are they?
Yeah, I think Duke's the first game.
They're always like a Friday nighter, right? Don't they seem like they play a lot on Friday night?
We watched them lose in the first round a couple years ago with Brent Beard in studio.
Who was it? Who got them? VCU?
I can't remember.
Mercer? Or Bucknell?
Might have been Mercer. That probably
Might
was Mercer. I don't remember. I remember we watched Duke lose.
Duke, when I was growing up, in the 80s, I was growing up, like when I was really into college hoops in the 80s into the mid-90s, Duke would not only win every first-round game, they'd win it by 40. I mean, they were just – and granted, they were a high seed, but they never were even contested in those games. They always played up to their seeding in the early rounds. That was like clockwork. So go to 1010XL.com. You can enter the 1010XL Bracket Challenge right there. Go to ESPN.com and just search for Jaguars Today or go to the Twitter timeline of myself or Tyler. Did you retweet it?
I did, and I love the group motto for ours.
Which
JJ did a fantastic job.
I've not seen that.
The group motto is, it's built.
It's built. It's good. I like that. Even O'Halloran had a wry grin on his face with that one. All right, fantastic. It's built.
It's 641-1010 built.
641-1010 is the number if you'd like to get on board. right, let's go to the text line to start things off here quickly, Ryan. I've got this one for you. Why does the majority of the media that covers the Jaguars think we didn't address our biggest need in free agency? I get that we missed out on Olivier Vernon, but I think it's overblown because our biggest need in free agency was to improve our pass rush and put pressure on the quarterback. Most quarterbacks will tell you that interior pressure is the worst. We need to improve quarterback pressures, not just sack numbers. Malik gives us that. The edge rusher is not the only defensive lineman who could pressure the QB. I'm not saying we shouldn't look to improve the defensive end position, but we do have Fowler there. Ayers, for example, wasn't going to be a starter, so he goes to the Bucs. So that tells you what the Jags think about their defensive line unit. Your retort is what?
Well, I agree that interior pass rush was non-existent last year, so why not try and get both those guys?
And they did.
You know, this is a very deep interior defensive line draft. Could you have gone another direction with that $42 million guaranteed and then selected a defensive tackle in the first or second round where you're going to get – I mean, all the projections are you're going to be able to get second-round talent, a defensive tackle, in the fourth round because 10, 12 aren't going in the first round. So it's, you know, allocation of resources. Glad you mentioned Fowler. It's another – talking point is they've pivoted 180 degrees on Dante.
Time out for a moment, please. How many of these talking points do you have?
I have 13.
And they will be in a weekend edition of the Florida Times Union?
I'm still trying to mull that.
Okay, coming up, you're gonna put all these in print and express your concerns as well.
At the very least, there'll be a Dynamite blog post.
Okay.
From they say November up until the first week of March, the company line on Dante Fowler was, let's not get carried away. You know, rookie pass rushers don't have an immediate impact. Even Khalil Mack, my boy, took a while to get going. So I was like, oh, you know, what does that mean? So yeah, if he gets 7 or 8 sacks, that'll be a good starting point for him. Now they're saying he's going to have a major impact. We only have one Leo on the field at a time, which is so incorrect. But it says, okay, now because you struck out on, you know, the pass rushers, now you're putting more expectations on Fowler. You don't know how he's going to do. It's a mystery.
No, but you know, in some degree, you don't know how any of these guys are going to do, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, is Olivier Vernon, if you sign him, is he going to be an impact pass rusher? Is he going to be a 7.5 sack guy? I understand that sacks are not the full extent of pass rush. Pressures, knockdowns, all these things are important. But,
I put a lot into sacks.
If you do, then why would you want to pay Olivier Vernon all that money? Because he doesn't produce the numbers that dictate he should get a J.J. Watt-style contract. A
couple reasons. One, because his presence alone would help Fowler get to double-digit sacks. Because I think a guy like him who's an ascending player has a ripple effect, whereas now if Dante has a 2-sack game in week 2, teams are going to start putting extra attention on him. Is there anybody else on that other side that can impact impact with one-on-one? I don't think so. So that would be my main reason, is all they've been saying here for 4 years, you can never have enough pass rushers. You can't have enough of them. Well, you got to put the resources in there and make a guy come here.
Understood, though, but you can't make a guy come, ultimately.
See, I disagree with that.
That was
another interesting company line from that. You can't make a guy come here. You made Malik Jackson come here.
You can make some. You can't make everybody. People are motivated by different things, and you saw the comments of Olivier Vernon. Clearly, he didn't have a whole lot of interest in playing in the city of Jackson for whatever reasons. And the bright lights of New York, the fact that historically that has been a competitive organization chasing the Lombardi Trophy and has had some success in that department, a history recently of pass rush being a big key to that success on the field, and the money being what it was, he seemed like he was a guy that was attracted to the bright lights in big city. Is that incorrect?
You bring me to another talking point is – they didn't have a plan B at the pass rushing spot. The convenient storyline was how they're pursuing just one Leo, the thing they'd been trying to spin around town since Saturday morning. That makes them look even worse, because in this league, it's all about having plans B and C. They were so convinced that their plan A was going to work and they were going to get Vernon, they weren't prepared to not get him, and now they're scrambling.
Well, all right, so what do you think they should – who should have been plan B, in your opinion?
Well, they obviously thought plan B was Ayers, because they brought him in.
But did they bring him in to – as seems to be what we're hearing from Ayers himself and what Tony and I are being told inside this building and what others like Big Cat Country have reported, and perhaps yourself as well?
Big Cat Country, we could leave them out of this.
Why?
Because
so hostile about everything for, man? I mean, they wrote a story about this. Is it an incorrect story? Do they?
Well, first of all, don't believe everything you hear. Like,
do you think their story is wrong?
I think the spin is wrong. What was coming out of this building was people, which was what typical when they don't get a guy to sign with them. Well, we didn't want him anyways. Well, he wasn't gonna play a big role. Lie to him. Say he's gonna start. You obviously thought enough of him to bring him in here and talk dollars and cents. And the money was the same as in Tampa. You're supposed, if you get a guy in here, you're supposed to have this culture working for you. He leaves the building. I don't care if all his sacks came from interior pass rushing or whatever. Bring him in here and play him to his strengths, which is sometimes and sometimes inside. Because obviously you can't count on Cedric Marks. That's the other sign you're getting too, is they don't think who knows what you're going to get out of him. So,
well, I mean, they do say about Cedric Marks, because I had that same thought, is Malik Jackson, is this contract indicative of a lack of faith in the recovery of Cedric Marks? Dave Caldwell said he should be completely clear to go physically by OTAs. Not training camp, not the start of the season, by OTAs. That doesn't sound to me like they're not counting on Cedric Marks coming back. Now, you got to wonder, is he going to give you the same level of productivity? But I would at least interject that. Go ahead, finish your point.
Well, the point is, if they didn't want errors, they wouldn't have brought him in.
Okay, but you have interest to a certain level. Again, should they have paid errors, $20 million guaranteed, $50 million guaranteed? Should they stop at no end to get him?
Well, not with him. You should.
Okay,
they should have.
There's a limit somewhere.
Well, it goes player by player. If he's in the building, he clearly has an interest in you because they wouldn't have brought him in.
Or he was trying to drive up his value.
Well, I think hopefully these guys are smart enough not to bring him in just for that. I mean, he was.
How do you know? Hey, would you like to come visit? Yes, I would. And he's saying to his agent, "Hey, wow, this is great. I can drive up my value." And they're saying, "Oh, great, he's interested in coming in." How do you know that?
Like, you find out pretty early, and he wouldn't have been here all day.
But regardless, if he's here, do you not set limits on what you're going to budget for this player? This is what we see this player as. This is what we're willing to spend on this player. Is that, or you should, you feel, it sounds to me, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, that you feel like, budget be damned, I have to get a Leo no matter how much I have to overpay.
Yes, on a Leo. You know, Ayers was not going to command, should not have commanded the same money as Vernon, but when if he's in your building, you don't let him leave because he would have been able to help you on defense.
Okay, but how do you keep him from leaving unless you break the budget? If you say, here's what we're willing to pay you, here's how we plan on using you, which I think in the long run, you're better off not lying to these guys because that quickly, you saw what happened with Mario Williams in Buffalo, right? He got brought in to be used a specific way. Then he doesn't get used that way, and granted, by a new head coach, and things sour quickly. To go out there and say, hey, Robert Ayers, we're going to play you at left end, and then you want to play him at tackle on third down, just, you know, making this an oversimplification. Doesn't that breed discontent, mistrust, and you start to get a reputation as a general manager who will say anything to get a guy to sign on the dotted line?
I don't care.
Don't care. I have a feeling Dave Caldwell probably does.
Well, what did he get from Tampa? 3 years, was it?
$21 million.
And what was guaranteed?
I don't remember.
Let's say half of it was guaranteed.
All right, let's say $10 million, whatever.
You know, if he's in the building and he's on, you know, say we'll go to 13.
What if you're not? But what if that's what you don't value him as? You don't think he's worth $13 million?
Well, they obviously thought he wasn't. I thought he was.
Okay, but I mean, that's you. If you were the GM, you would spend apparently anything to get. All right, we'll continue the talking points on the other side. If you want to get in, 641-1010. We'll open up the phone lines to you. You want to comment on how you feel the Jags have done, and that's fine. If you agree or disagree with Ryan, you don't have to agree with him. I don't happen to agree with him, but that's what makes the world go round. It'll be very boring if we all agreed on every single point. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Ryan O'Halloran here with you. Jaguars today. Don't forget, head to ESPN.com. Search in the bracket, the tournament challenge for Jaguars today. You can fill out a tournament bracket right there and compete against us for, incredibly valuable Jaguars today merchandise, like a t-shirt, perhaps, for some of the top performers in our bracket challenge. So go ahead and fill that out, and we'll make sure to port our entries in there as well. We'll go through our Final Four, maybe our Elite Eight picks a little bit later on in the program, just so you know who to stay away from. I spent about maybe 10 minutes this morning, Tony, filling it out because I couldn't write any faster than that. That's why it took me 10 minutes instead of 8 minutes to fill out my bracket this morning. So I did try to go a little against the chalk, at least for the Final Four. So we'll see how those things turn out. 641-1010, both the text and the phone lines open to you. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL on 92.5 FM.
This is the quarterback here at Jacksonville Jaguars, Blake Bortles, and you are listening to Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
You tell him, Blake. That's right, baby. Happy St. Paddy's Day, everybody. Jaguars today, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony. We got Ryan O'Halloran of the Florida Times Union here with us a little later on. We won't bore you with going through every selection in the NCAA tournament, but we will maybe we'll go through like who we have in the Elite Eight, who we have matching up in each of the four regions going on to the Final Four.
Sure.
Throw it out there. Why not, right? You got yours all done over there?
Yeah, mine's done. How much college basketball do you watch, Ryan?
Not much.
All right. So
how many complete games start to finish did you see this year?
Complete games? Probably zero.
Me too.
If Vanderbilt wasn't playing in it, I didn't watch any of it.
Well, I'm looking at this. Like, I filled out a bracket at home just because you do. But I'm looking at this one. the West region is just so god awful. I mean,
it's almost worse than Jag's free agency. Like,
yeah,
kidding me?
Well,
it's like the AFC South of March Madness, right?
Yeah. But anyways, my bracket at home has a lot of double digit seeds winning in the first round, which also equates into a chalky Final Four.
Okay, well, that's fine. You know, I have a hard time not picking chalk a lot of the times, but because I tried to learn from the past. You pick too many upsets, you pick the wrong ones, and you're screwing yourself because you're missing the actual upsets, and then you're missing out on some higher seeds advancing. Anyway, let's move on. Let's get some phone calls. And surprisingly, conversation this morning has sparked some interest on
the
phone line. Good,
that's the goal.
641-1010. Let's get Jerome on the west side. Going to lay it down first here on Jaguars Today. Hello, Jerome. How are you?
Hey, how y'all doing this morning?
Great. Good. What's up?
I got to disagree with Ryan. You know, I really disagree, man. You can't pay for somebody that don't want to be here. I mean, I don't care. Even that means when he get here, he may not even give 100%. He just came here for the money. So I'd rather somebody want to be here, and then I just can work something out with him. But I got another question for you. I just got a question for you. Let's say Ramsey, Boza, and your boy Jack is gone in the top, whatever, four picks.
Yeah.
Do they reach for a need at linebacker or pass rusher with Buckner, or do you think they should just trade down, see if they can trade down about maybe 10 spots or so and without trying to reach?
All right, thank you, Jerome. We'll answer that.
That's a good scenario, because let's just assume Tunsil is the fourth player.
Well, right. No quarterback goes, yeah. And that is the worst scenario at the moment we can envision.
That is a terrible scenario. You know, obviously, he would be open for business to moving down, but at that point, you're probably getting the idea. Okay, maybe the teams don't value the quarterbacks as much as.
Right,
you wanted to.
Or maybe they weren't willing to pay the price to get up to number one, and they're, you know, maybe going to be willing to pay to get up to five.
And the only there's no silver linings if that's the first four, because you're either going to have to trade down or really reach, and his MO would be to just stay put and reach. One thing we talked about last week, let's say these are the first four guys. If I'm a team that needs a quarterback and I'm at 9 or 10, I would probably do business with the Jaguars instead of waiting until 6, just to guarantee I have the fifth pick. And also, you're probably thinking, okay, they're more willing to move down from 5 to 10.
If those particular players are off the board.
You know,
right?
If a quarterback goes in the top four, then I think they stay put because they're going to get one of those defensive guys.
Assuming Tunsil goes one.
Yeah. And,
right.
You know, so... And I think ultimately that will happen.
In terms of Buckner is been described best as a 3-4 defensive end, but he could play, as we talked with Russell Andy, he thinks he could play the Red Bryant role in this offense, Tony, for lack of a clearer term for it. But, again, sounded like a guy that you might want to slide inside on third down. It's getting jammed up on the inside on third down right now. I don't know if that guy is a perfect fit, although Landy really thought he could play in any system and thinks his quote was he will be a star in the National Football League. My guess is Buckner is not the apple of their eye with the fifth pick, even in that scenario. It could be Vernon Hargraves. Could be somebody else that we're not thinking of right now.
And I read or heard Russ's 3-4 comparison. And to me, that is the number one red flag. Not that he's not going to be a fine player. But you got to have some semblance of a fit.
Right.
You can't just sort of take a guy and say, okay, we're going to totally change what he does. You know, most likely is, you know, if I'm the Jags and it's the difference between Hargraves and Buckner, I would take the corner because you know that he can, you know, make an impact right away.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Thank you for the call, Jerome, as we've got Anthony in St. Augustine next up on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Anthony.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. What's up, man?
I think the Jaguars did pretty good in free agency. I mean, they went and swung for some of the major free agents. You can't blame them for a guy that just didn't want to be here. I think Malik Jackson was a good one. Abu Kamara was a good, you know, value find. He'd probably go in and become a starter. And they got a good, Kelvin Beecham is a good left tackle candidate that could probably take over if Luke Joku does what he did last year. I think in the draft, though, one of the things that I'm looking at number five, I really don't like many people at number five. I really don't think that this draft is really strong other than Jalen Ramsey. To me, I think the best thing that could happen for the Jaguars is they could get a good deal and trade down with someone who needs a quarterback like the Rams. trade down, pick up some more picks. And to me, the sweet spot is in that team part. And the guy that I look at is Emmanuel Ogba out of Oklahoma State. To me, I think that guy is very underrated, and I think that he's a guy that's going to start climbing real soon.
I think he would be under one of the candidates that you could take at five by reaching. If you don't find a deal you like, this is going to sound smartass. I wouldn't touch an Oklahoma State first round pick for my life because the track record just isn't great with on and off the field.
They've had some off the field, more than Blackman.
No,
right?
More than Blackman. So, maybe this guy is different, but what caller says, okay, if it's a strong second round and it really picks up in the mid-teens, then maybe teams are just going to be, okay, we can just wait.
Right.
That's a danger. Non-quarterback.
And now Dave Caldwell, we asked him the other day, Tony, under any scenario, will there be five players that you think you'll love at five? He said, we think yes. If we're at five, no matter what players come off the board, we think we're going to get a really good player at number five. Dave Caldwell, I'm not saying he wouldn't be open to trading down. He has just set a very high bar in the past. Mm-hmm. And now maybe he wouldn't feel that way if that particular combination of players were gone. Maybe he'd really have a very strong four. We may be projecting our thoughts onto Dave Caldwell. That's quite frequently what we do at this time of year.
But you hit it on the head. Is his track record is that he won't. Because
he wants to get paid.
Because if he moves from five, what did the caller say, the Rams? Are they at
Rams are
11,
at like
15?
13 or okay. Something like that.
Let's say
I want to say
the Rams call. Well, that call
they might
is
be at 15.
If let's say okay, 15. That call is not even getting going until they say this package includes next year's one.
Oh yeah, no question, if you're coming up from 15, I think he would want
and
that.
And that's probably going to be a non-starter for LA, and that's why I think they know that. And so I think if you're in the teens, the most you can move up without giving up next year's one is maybe you like move up from 15 to 10, because you're going to have to give up your second round pick.
All right, let's get to Cody on the north side next up here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Cody.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, man? Heather?
Nothing, man. First time caller. Not a big Jaguar fan, but I'm really a Cowboy. But I agree with what the Jaguars did. I think they strengthened the middle. If you watch Cam the whole season, he took off and went straight up the middle when the pressure came from the outside. The reason why I thought Denver was effective was because Malik Jackson and Derek Wolfe stopped him from taking that run up the middle when those guys came out from the outside. So, I know rushes and everything go hand in hand on the defense, but I think that was an excellent pickup. Did they overspend? They all do in free agency. So I'll let you guys respond.
All right. Thank you, Cody.
Well, on your point about Malik Jackson in the Super Bowl, one of the things I wrote last Sunday is I watched all his snaps in the Super Bowl, and where Jaguar fans should be interested is on third down with Denver, he sort of lined up inside and DeMarcus Ware lined up in a three-point stance outside. So that, that gave him some matchups. So the key is, this is broken record, but let's say they were able to add a pass rusher on both sides. I think that would create better matchups for Jackson inside and Marks inside, because then, one of them is just going to have to beat a guard. And with both of those guys' power, you like that matchup.
I think it can go both ways, though. I think you can have, the Jags got a fairly good sack number a couple of years ago. And I think a lot of that was generated from the fact of the season that Derek Marks had. Mm-hmm. 8.5 sacks and a lot of pressures. And teams, instead of him taking advantage of single teams, he was creating single teams for other guys. And I think that's the idea that if you can't get, they wanted it both, right? But if you don't have the clear-cut answer on the end, if you can create it, put two of those guys, Malik Jackson and Derek Marks, next to each other, they're going to have to account, three blockers are going to have to account for those guys, you would think. Even if you bring a tight end in or a running back to chip, you should get a one-on-one matchup with one of your outside guys every single snap mm-hmm. on third down.
And, when they trot this team out for the first third down of the regular season, As they're currently constructed, it's going to be interesting. Okay, who is that other guy?
Yeah.
There's a bunch of guys. We've been, I think a lot of us have been on the table for Ryan Davis.
Ryan Davis.
Playing time, so.
Dave talked about Scooter the other day, that they were planning on integrating that as part of the plan last year, and then he got hurt and they weren't able to.
And I think another dimension here where if I was a Jaguar fan, I would be excited by the coordinator change on defense because I think there's going to be some more diversity in terms of how they pressure and where they line up. Because I know internally they're saying if they had Vernon, they're already starting to think about ways that on third downs they could have five defensive linemen on the field and Vernon and Fowler had been coming off the same edge. That's interesting. So right. We'll see what they do with other guys.
Excuse me. Let's go to Ron in Gainesville before we break here. Ron, you're next on Jaguars Today. Go ahead.
Hi, how you guys doing? How you
Great. What's up? Today?
Thanks.
First of all, I like to say I respect you guys and what you guys do. And does nobody remember Hugh Douglas? Nobody. Mm-hmm. Because that's exactly what you would get if you overpay Olivier Vernon. Like, if he doesn't want to be here, he just doesn't want to be here. That's fine. Pick somebody in the draft. I think the last caller had a great point. Move down to St. Louis if they want to move up for Goff if all the other players are gone. It's going to be L.A. It's a California kid. That's great. That works out for them. You can pick up a guy like Shaq Lawson. Look, my question is to you guys is do you think that they would pick up more than one linebacker in this draft to try to add some speed to that position group? That's my only question. And again, I do respect you guys.
All right, hey, Ron, it's all good. We get it, man. You don't have to agree with everything any of us say. It's all good. We appreciate it.
Going into the draft, I think that's one of the known locks is they're going to draft multiple linebackers to try and rebuild that side.
Do you agree right now the ideal pick is Miles Jack, as far as we know of what we know of the player, or do you think Bosa is the top guy?
I think for this team right now, I think Jack would make more sense because with Bosa, it goes back to where we're talking about Buckner, is, you know, it's getting a little packed up on that depth chart of big guys. So how much do you play him? Where do you play him? Whereas Jack, what it does at that linebacker spot for this year is it gives you options on who to use when. And also with an eye toward, okay, he's your future middle linebacker. I think they would run to the table with that.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back to State and Football, the Honda Drive around the NFL, and more of your calls at 641-1010. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you today by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. Not a lot of historically significant events on this date, but some interesting birthdays nonetheless, including Slingin' Sammy Ball. Lived to be 94 years old, born in 1914, passed away in 2008, an NFL Hall of Famer in the class of 63. Was 63 the first class? I want to say it was, right? I think it opened in 63 in Canton, Ohio. Pretty sure. We've done enough of these. That sounds
right.
Familiar.
Yeah.
I think Sammy Ball's in the inaugural class. Six-time Pro Bowler, four-time first-team All-Pro. 1953 was Chuck Muncy's birth year. He passed away, man, way too young, in 2013. He used to love playing as Chuck Muncy in the backyard when we played pickup football. We always wanted to be the San Diego Chargers because the Air Coryell offense was so fun. So I was either Kellen Winslow or Chuck Muncy. That's who I wanted to be all the time. Muncy passed away at the age of 60 after three Pro Bowls in his career.
When I was a kid watching him, it was like first guy to see wear goggles, glasses.
Goggles, yeah. He was the goggles prior to Eric Dickerson. Yeah. But those are the two that really stand out to you. And also born on this date and turning 29 today, born in 1987, Emmanuel Sanders of the Super Bowl champion Denver Broncos, a one-time Pro Bowler as well. And Amos Alonzo Stagg, longtime collegiate football coach, passed away in California in 1965 at the age of 102. Good job, Amos Alonzo. He was born during the Civil freaking War. You kidding me? Alonzo Stagg hung around for a long time. The State in Football brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. They're on Gate Parkway. Hey, if you got a snore in your family, maybe it's you. Do your loved ones a favor and get the SomnoMed Custom Fit Mouth Guard. Call Dr. McCall's office for details. 620-9225. Visit jamesjmccall.com to get a complete list of comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive around the NFL. Brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
The New England Patriots and Chicago Bears are working to finalize a trade. I think it actually may be done now. That will reportedly send tight end Martellus Bennett and the Bears' sixth-round pick to New England. in exchange for the Patriots' fourth-round draft pick. Bennett talked openly during the season last year about not being happy with his role in the Chicago offense. The 29-year-old caught 90 passes for just over 900 yards in 2014, but saw those numbers dip to just 53 catches in 11 games last season. The Patriots have also agreed to a one-year deal with free agent running back Donald Brown. On basically the same day that the Baltimore Ravens released safety Will Hill, the NFL announced that Hill is facing a 10-game suspension for a violation of the NFL's substance abuse policy. Former Jaguars offensive guard Zane Beatles has agreed to a three-year $11.75 million deal with San Francisco, and a potential first-round draft pick found himself face-to-face with the law yesterday. Former Mississippi State defensive tackle Chris Jones was stopped for speeding in Starkville, Mississippi, and was subsequently arrested for driving on a suspended license.
So Chris Jones has been known for a couple of missteps this offseason.
The second Mississippi State guy in a week.
Right, he's the one whose schlong fell out, too.
Yeah.
Right? So there
he
you
was.
Have it. I mean, just to put a finer point on it right there.
Should I, that Dak,
should
got,
I put that more genteelly?
Dak with the DUI.
Yeah, he got... Yeah, so
DUI Dak.
It's just like if you're a draft prospect, and basically I would just go live at home.
Right, go live. I mean, just work out and live a Spartan lifestyle for a few months, man. Just work out, work out, work out. Don't go out. It's not worth it. I mean, look, you know what? I say it's not worth it. A lot of people are able to manage it. They're called adults, right? Or semi-adults.
Sure.
There are people who are like 20, 21 years old who are not all knuckleheads running around doing dumb things. You can even go out at 21, have a few drinks, and not get your name in the paper. You know, now sometimes guys are gunning for you and it's not your fault, but the vast majority of them do things the right way. It's just amazing that guys would get behind the wheel of a vehicle, though, at this stage when you've got that much potential money to lose.
Oh, Dak is stupid. Like, this Chris Brown thing is, why is your license suspended? And the fact that it all went down in Starkville, Mississippi. Like, it all went down where I would assume kind of is half home for this guy.
You know who I am?
Right. Like, it's kind of a weird story because it's not that big a deal to me, except I just want to know why his license is suspended in the first place. Is the big question I have coming out of that story. Getting pulled over for speeding, whatever, right? What's going on with your license, buddy? I mean, seriously, you're not old enough to have had that much go on that it would be suspended. So that's what I'm curious about.
Parking tickets?
Honestly, you could get tickets and they go unpaid, I suppose,
sure.
Right? I mean, which is irresponsible, but it's not nearly, to me, that's not as nearly as irresponsible.
The DUI is
just at this
beyond
stage,
stupid.
I mean, there's so much information about it out there. Now, just do not do it. Even if I don't care, I do care, but at least be smart enough not to do it now, right? I mean, you should care anytime anyone gets behind the wheel when they've had too much to drink because they risk all of our lives. But for goodness sakes, man, you're months away from hitting the lottery and in something you've earned by your play on the field. Dak Prescott, Ryan, had been getting some serious love as a guy that could really be a pretty good developmental quarterback. You know, in the third, fourth round, I've been hearing talk about this guy. You got to wonder, though, about the decision-making. I do think it's different when you talk about that position particularly compared to other ones.
Yeah, it's like, you know, common sense, you know, judgment.
You got to be the face of the franchise. Yeah. Ultimately, that's what you're being drafted for as a quarterback, to hopefully one day develop into being a starting quarterback, which pretty much guarantees in 90-plus percent of the cases that you are considered the face of the franchise, at least for a period of time.
Yeah, now if a team drafts him, is the first question is going to be, well, how are you going to learn this scheme? It's going to be, what the hell happened?
Right. Right. You know, do we have to worry about you doing this again and on and on and on? All right, let's go back to the phones. 6-4. Go ahead, Tyler.
Yeah, I just want to add quickly on Dak Prescott. Did you guys see that his DUI test, his breathalyzer, was deemed inconclusive?
No, but...
There were two of them.
Yeah,
he took two different breathalyzers and both were inconclusive. It's
so it doesn't mean he wasn't drunk, per se, but... Legally, he's not going to.
Legally, he may escape it, but if the mere fact that you're getting behind the wheel.
Right, it's a judgment.
And drinking, it's a judgment call.
If sure.
If you're in the gray area, I'm not saying you should lock him up, throw away the key for the rest of his life, But I'm saying if I'm a prospective employer, I'm questioning your judgment, and particularly when you know that more focus is on you now than has ever been at any time, including when you played at Mississippi State. This is, in terms of the rest of your life and your future and making money, this is when all eyes are on you looking for that one little misstep. All right, let's move along. 641-1010 to the west side we go. Rob is next up here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Rob. How are you?
Good afternoon. Hey, I don't understand the inner workings of the NFL front office when it comes to transactions, but I'm just trying to figure out how Arizona got the golden ticket of Chandler Jones when we need a pass rusher more than anybody. Would the Jags have any shot at that, or is that just between Arizona and New England and no one else has a chance, or how does that work?
Well, the Jags were linked with them by a New England reporter.
Along with two other teams.
Yeah. You know, Arizona gave up a late second.
Late second round pick, and Jonathan Cooper.
Yeah, who was deemed expendable. Right. Hadn't really played that well for them. Let's just, like, flip it to the Jags. A second round pick and A.J. Can.
Would you do that?
I probably wouldn't have, because that creates another hole.
See, and I agree with you, because it's not just – here's the thing. I think Chandler Jones is better than Olivier Vernon, okay? Mm-hmm. By what degree, I'm not sure, but I do think he's a little bit better than Olivier Vernon. At least he's been more productive than Olivier Vernon. But let's say they're comparable guys, okay? Chandler Jones has 1 year left on his rookie
deal.
That's
my big thing, too.
Right. He doesn't want Olivier Vernon's contract. He wants $10 million more than Olivier Vernon's contract, or he's going to want that. So you're willing to go X far for Olivier Vernon outside your comfort zone, like you said. Let's say you're willing to do that for Chandler Jones, but now you got to give a second round pick on top of that and a starting player. We were talking about yesterday, hypothetically, what if you sent him Marquise Lee in the deal or whatever it was that they might accept? You're still sending them a young player under team control for several more years at a very affordable contract, the right to draft another one of those players, a very high draft pick for this football team who needs to be a key contributor, and then needing to allocate that much money to a guy who, by the way, just this offseason got involved in some kind of still a little bit murky about exactly, was he smoking pot, was he smoking synthetic pot, was he doing some other stuff, found himself in the police station, totally confused, didn't know what the hell was going on. Are you willing to take, to me, cumulatively, that's too much risk to make the deal that Arizona did for the Jags.
Yeah, and Arizona is in a different spot.
They feel like they're a piece or two away from winning it right now, right?
Yeah, and they did that, and they also had Evan Mathis lined up to take that guard spot. A guy like Evan Mathis probably wouldn't have been interested in coming here.
Correct.
Because he signed a two-year deal, but he may just play one more year. So
I thought it might have been just a one-year deal.
Just a one-year deal. I mean, think about, to the caller's point, is the mechanics are different in every front office in terms of, okay, what makes sense for them right now? Does Chandler Jones make sense for 32 teams in this league? Yes. But at what price? And, you know, I'm going to harken back to Vernon a little bit, but you made the point, Mike, which is correct, is that price for that kind of guy is only going to keep going up. And, you know, I don't think Olivier Vernon is ever going to be viewed as a bargain, but if you had the cap space this year, how much further would it have taken? Because you better get one, you better start hitting one on the draft, because those guys in free agency are going to keep getting more and more expensive as the cap goes up.
You got to pay them like a quarterback, basically. I mean, that's what Olivier Vernon's getting paid like. Tony, on the other hand, was at least would have considered.
If it was just a second round pick, if it was the second round pick alone, I would have seriously thought about it. If I would have been willing to pay that money for him, because I would have been willing to pay that money for Vernon too. So if it was just the pick, yeah, when it starts talking about getting a starter too, that's when I got shaky.
Well, the interesting thing is, if let's hypothetically say the Jags did that deal straight up for the second round pick, well then you sort of say, okay, at five they're looking to move down. You know, they probably will take a little bit less, you know, move from 5 to 11, and instead of next year's 1, you take this year's 2nd, this year's 4th.
Because you almost feel like Jones is your number one pick at that point.
Yeah, and also, if I'm the Jags, do you have a conversation with Chandler saying, hey, let's talk contract right now and just get this done? Because, you see, if he goes in a season...
See, that's the other thing, right? Because unless you... Maybe Arizona's willing to roll the dice on a late second and a guy, like you said, that hasn't really panned out for them. But if you're the Jags, here's the worst case scenario. You lose your second round pick. You lose a young player. You lose Chandler Jones after a year. Did you get a Lombardi trophy out of him? Fine. If you didn't, and you I guess you can always franchise him, right, and lock him up, and then you're paying him 20-ish million dollars for one more year. You're not going to franchise him twice because then the price skyrockets. Mm-hmm. So maybe you get 2 years out of him. Maybe, you know, you just don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm with you. If I was going to do that deal, I want some time to sit down and say, what are the parameters of what you're looking for? Do we have a realistic chance of retaining you beyond just one season? Well, we got to take a timeout. We'll come back. More of your calls again at 641-1010 if you want to hop on board. Question of the day, get on Twitter, get on the Jaguars Today Facebook page as well and answer this. You've just caught a leprechaun. Congratulations to you. What are your three wishes for the Jaguars remainder of the offseason? Share those thoughts at MD_1010XL, at Ryan O'Halloran, at 1010XL, Fat Tony. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
They mark it at the 34-yard line, so now the Colts are in business. 1:11 to play. They have all three of their timeouts, leading 13-3 and in great field position. Hasselbeck drops the throw. That ball's knocked out of his hand. It is picked up by the Jaguars. That is picked up by Andre Branch. Andre Branch is going to score a touchdown. That's going to be a strip sack, and Andre Branch scores for the Jaguars.
Now, if the producer...
And the route is on.
If Tyler Devitt were really on top of it, wouldn't he have gone with Dust in the Windmill here instead of... right? No? Am I not right about that? Are you trying to set us up for who you're picking in the NCAA tournament here, Tyler? Is that what this is?
I did not go with Kansas, no.
All right. Just curious. I guess we just went with Kansas. Andre Branch, now a Miami Dolphin problem. All right. So,
yeah.
1 year, $3 million.
That's basically it.
Well,
I wouldn't have given him three turkey sandwiches, much
bad,
less $3 million.
How bad? Well, if they're dandy turkey sandwiches, they certainly would not be worth it. How bad you have to be to get the second visit after Chris Clements?
Bad.
Pretty bad.
Yeah, you know, it's just like, I mean, everybody's, the other storyline I got a kick out of, well, Andre Branch was misused here in Jacksonville. It's a 4-3 defensive end. He was drafted to play that position. He just wasn't very good.
Right,
he'll be better as a 3-4 outside linebacker.
Okay, well, they don't run a 3-4. He was a 4. I mean, he, you look at, I said, I'm not surprised at all with his age and the desire to find pass rush in the NFL. You look at the guy walking off the bus, and you're like, that guy's a defenseman. That guy can play. If you're just picking sides, if you knew nothing about the team, you wouldn't wait long to take Andre Branch, right? And, I mean, so I get it, Tony. And he hasn't burned you for the last 4 years. It's worth it on a one-year prove-it-to-me deal.
I think he'd be pretty successful in Denver, right? Like, I think Andre Branch is the type of guy that if you had two or three other guys on that defensive line that were just hogs, right? If he has Von Miller on the other side and Malik Jackson inside and Derek Wolfe inside, then Branch will clean some stuff up for you. I do think that he's that type of guy because he's not a low effort player. He's just not a guy that can create things for himself.
I was going to go the opposite way. I was saying he did dog it. You see a guy who takes some of the worst routes to the quarterback. I mean, just veering off and then pretends to block it. That's one of my projects today. Of his sacks in Jacksonville, I want to see how many of them were because the quarterback tripped.
You got a lot of time in your hands there, O'Halloran.
Solid.
You really do.
I think a lot of them are because people ran the quarterback to him.
Yeah,
I think that happened
a lot. So my guy, Chris Clemens, pushed him out of the pocket and right into Andre Branch. But like you have to put yourself in position to make those sacks. But, I mean, if I had to give Andre one piece of advice is not everybody's out there.
Hey, you know what? If he was getting 12 a year, I wouldn't care if he was they were falling in his lap, right? Because you figure the odds are you're not going to fall into a dozen every single year. He's not that kind of productive, though. So he had his opportunities. They wanted it to happen for Andre Branch here in Jacksonville. He just never did. So, good luck to him in Miami, but not too much. You hate to see somebody leave and do better somewhere else. At least maybe that's just me. I don't know. I doubt I'm the only one who feels that way. If you want to get in, 641-1010 is the number. We put a lot of time into our and thought into our bracket challenge. Go to ESPN.com, and you can enter the bracket challenge. It's search for Jaguars today, and it'll bring up our contest right there. We're going to give away some T-shirts for the best performers, whatever the case may be. And so you can enter. If you've got one on ESPN, you can just import it right there that easily. Otherwise, it takes you just a couple minutes to fill one out. I did mine this morning. Didn't take more than a few minutes. Trust me on that. Yes.
What happens when I win? Do I want a T-shirt?
You look good. You look good in black, right?
Congratulations.
Thank Jaguars you. Today T-shirt. You're eligible for a T-shirt. We'll give you a T-shirt.
Oh, we are eligible. Okay.
Why not? For a T-shirt? Sure. Everybody's eligible for a T-shirt. In fact, I may swing by today and just grab myself one after the show. Not sure about that. Oh, how you need a T-shirt? We ever hooked you up with a Jaguars Today T-shirt?
No.
We haven't? No. Would you wear it? Would you wear it proudly?
Probably underneath something.
We know,
underneath
guys.
Something he would. That's terrible. I forget it. I'm not getting you anything. But also the 1010XL Bracket Challenge, which probably much greater prizes than we are offering here on our own little side thing. Just go to 1010XL.com as you should on a daily basis. I know that's your homepage, but at the top, the little revolving banner of ads, just wait. It's like the second or third one that comes up. Is the bracket challenge. Go to 1010XL.com. You can enter right there as well. We've got our little own in-house bracket contest. Donna Murphy is always the mob boss when it comes to that. Tyler, did you turn your $5 into Donna already?
I did. I do have some breaking news. Or actually, it's probably been on the air before, but in case you haven't heard it, maybe breaking news. $500 is on the line for the 1010XL.com bracket challenge.
Nice.
$500.
See, I knew they had better prizage than we did.
Now he knows something about the 10-10 contest.
Yeah, right. Now
I had to research it a little bit.
Of course, for an hour.
Yeah, because there's money on the line. Now he just, by the way, entering hours does not preclude you from entering both. All right, so you can enter the 10-10XL and the Jaguars today. Ours is just for a little bit of bonus fun on the side. We won't spend too much time on this. Let's not break down the whole bracket. Let's go around the table, though. Let's start with you. Indiana. Let's see. Hoosiers in the Elite Eight, Tyler, for you, or what?
I do not have the Indiana Hoosiers in my Elite Eight.
Way to not homer up there.
I'm a realist.
Are you still bitter about not getting the Big Ten championship ring? I heard that story this morning.
I'm a realist. I think that they will not get past Kentucky.
All right. In the East, who do you have in the Elite Eight squaring off to go to the Final Four?
In the Elite Eight, I have Kansas and Arizona, with Kansas winning. Baylor.
I'm sorry, buddy.
I'm just going in my bracket here on the app. It doesn't have it in order of regions. Oh, in the East. Yep. In the East. UNC and Xavier, with Xavier winning.
You got Xavier in the Final Four.
I do.
So do I. That really kind of ticks me off right now that you have Xavier in the Final Four. Is it Xavier? Are we going with Xavier or Xavier? It's Xavier,
Xavier,
right?
With, yep,
like a Z.
The fight is Scott Manzi on the line. Yeah. I think he says Xavier.
Is that right? It was Xavier McDaniel, though, the X-Man, right? Back in the day for the Sonics. All right, so you got Xavier over North Carolina. Who else you got? Go around the.
In the Midwest, I have the 5-seed Purdue upsetting Michigan State.
You're unbelievable. Did you look at my bracket before you filled this out? I've got Purdue as well coming out of that side.
I think I created the league, and you looked off mine.
You can't see anyone's bracket online, but that's a good theory. And what else? All right, other side.
In the West, I have Baylor and Oklahoma, with Baylor losing, Oklahoma going to the Final Four to play Kansas. Kansas beating
Arizona. We're 3-for-3. We're 4-for-4. We have the exact same Final Four. Who? Your championship game is what?
My championship game is Oklahoma winning it all.
Over?
Purdue.
Okay, I've got Kansas over Purdue. Wow. That's a little disappointing. All right, I might as well give you the rest. I got Kansas over Miami to go to the Final Four. I've got Oklahoma over Oregon to go to the Final Four. I have Xavier over Kentucky to go to the Final Four, and I have Purdue over Michigan State. O'Halloran, around the table, what do you got?
First of all, I have 10 double-digit seeds.
10 double-digit winners in the first round.
So okay. In the East, I have North Carolina over Xavier.
North Carolina.
In the Midwest, I have Michigan State over Virginia.
All right up on that mic there, please.
All right, oops.
Michigan State over Virginia.
Yep, in the South, I have Kansas over Wichita.
Okay.
And in the West, I have Oregon over VCU. I have Michigan State beating Kansas for the title.
All right, so you've got VCU and Wichita State making a run all the way to the Elite Eight.
Yes.
All right, that's pretty good then. That's a little, you were going a little chalky on me to start things off, but that's okay. Tony, what about you? Elite Eights.
We're going
to
start in the East. North Carolina, Xavier. I know that's exciting. North Carolina in the Final Four.
You got North Carolina over Xavier. You copycat. You copied us to the Elite Eight.
I can't make a case for anybody else in that region winning four games.
Kentucky, maybe.
Hacker's got to pick Xavier, right? Because they're the Musketeers, right?
Dirt.
He thinks he's going to get him confused with the Musketeers.
Dirt. I was talking to Daffy. He likes them.
Darn. Could he make Cubby? Cubby can play the drums now.
Midwest for me, I got Virginia falling to Michigan State. So, again, the 1 and 2.
Michigan State there.
So, Michigan State in the Final Four. Getting Virginia for the third
Everybody's
year in a row
got Michigan
tournament.
State except the smart kids.
In the South, I got Kansas over Miami, so same as you there. The West, I think, is a mess. I think the West could be an absolute mess.
Bloodbath.
I almost had VCU in there. Instead, I do have A&M, the 3 seed, taking on Cincinnati, the 9 seed in the West, in the Elite Eight, with A&M going to the Final Four, Kansas over A&M, North Carolina over Michigan State, North Carolina over Kansas in the championship.
All right. I do as well. My lower seeds, I do have VCU winning in the first round. I do have, let's see, I've got like most of the 9 seeds, although that's not a big deal. I've got Gonzaga winning a couple of rounds and getting to the Sweet 16 as an 11. That's probably my most extreme.
I got Little Rock beating Purdue.
Do you?
I have Little Rock beating Purdue and Iona beating Iowa State. Yeah, I have the 12 and 13.
Well,
there.
We're either going to be really good, Tyler, against these two, or really bad. Tyler, what's your big upset pick?
Big upset pick, I have Hawaii winning over, who are they playing?
Cal,
yeah, because Cal has a starter who broke his hand yesterday.
Yeah, their leading scorer.
And their coach is a perv trying to, I won't go into that, never mind.
I didn't know. Well, I don't know about this. I don't follow this closely. Their coach is a perv.
Apparently,
on what grounds?
Their assistant coach
Keep
has.
It clean.
Shut,
oh, their assistant coach.
This is a PG family show here. The assistant coach at Cal, who's already resigned, he's been fired, actually. He shut out a female media member out there in California because she wouldn't have sexual intercourse with him.
Oh, dear. Really?
Yeah, that's shady.
Yeah. That's more than shady. Yeah. That's illegal, I would believe. That's some kind of perhaps criminal charges in the offing for that. So, all right, there you have it.
Yeah, I got Yale over Baylor.
Yale over Baylor. What else you got, Tone?
Like I said, I have Little Rock in the Sweet 16 because I have a 12 and 13 playing in the round of 32 there.
I do have Wichita State beating Arizona. I didn't go crazy with it, man. I know everyone. I keep listening to Jeff Prosser. It's going to be the biggest year of upsets because it's not going to be a chalky tournament because there's no clear cut number one all season long, that
sure.
kind of stuff.
And I know Ryan had VCU in the 8. I have him in the 16 in my bracket. Northern Iowa over Texas in the first round, and Wichita State over Arizona.
Yeah, I got VCU winning one game.
But like when we say there's going to be like a lot of upsets on the first 2 days, mm-hmm. genuinely. That the cream is still rises to the top in that Elite Eight because once you get to that second weekend, if you're a one and you're alive,
you've got a couple of outliers in the Elite Eight though, right? You've got
Wichita,
VCU, and Wichita. So.
Teams like Wichita, whose seniors have been to the Final Four, so I went with some experience there, but also have Michigan State's a 2, Carolina's a 1, KU's a 1.
All right, there you have it. You've got the brilliant look at our reasoning and stuff behind our selections, at least for the Elite Eight, Final Four, and the championship. You can still sign up 1010XL Bracket Challenge. Win your share of the $500. Is it $500 for first place? Is that what it is,
Tyler? I believe so, yes.
That's pretty good. So head over to 1010XL.com, enter the 1010XL Bracket Challenge, and you can also enter the Jaguars Today Bracket Challenge at ESPN.com as well. Just search for Jaguars Today when you're over there, and a bunch of people have done that already. And, I mean, $500 for a Jaguars Today t-shirt, that's a tough call, I understand. So maybe enter both and maybe win both. You never know. That's going to do it for this segment. We'll come back, Fan Feedback Spotlight today, asking you, after your luck was with you and you caught a leprechaun and he granted you all 3 wee wishes, what would they be if you spent them on the Jaguars this off season? What are your 3 wishes for the remainder of the Jaguars off season? Tell us when we get back on the other side on Twitter at MD_1010XL, at Ryan O'Halloran, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and on the Jaguars Today Facebook page. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, final few minutes of the program today. Mike Dempsey, Ron O'Halloran, Fat Tony here with you live at Everbank. Happy St. Patrick's Day. We want to know, when you catch that leprechaun, if you're going to spend your wishes on the Jaguars off season, how exactly would you spend those wishes? Tony, we asked folks today, what are your top 3 wishes for the remainder of the Jags off season, and what kind of feedback did we receive?
Here's what we got from Chef Jags. Number 1, great draft, in parentheses there, Miles Jack. No injuries and lose my beer pounds from last season. From Brian, trade for edge rusher. No injuries, no legal issues. From Stoff, Stay healthy. Draft two all-pro players. No coaches or players get in trouble with the law. From Duval Doom, number one, draft a Hall of Famer. Two, fix the fade on the helmets. Three, no incidents meaning injuries or off-field. From Joey, no one gets injured. No one gets suspended. I don't have to search for the question of the day. Hashtag proudly blocked. They're from Joey the Jags fan. From Isaiah, draft Rashad Higgins, Jeremy Cash, and Miles Jack. From Daniel, draft Boza and Ramsey. No major injuries during minicamp. A new helmet is revealed. From Michael, draft Jalen Ramsey, acquire a pass rusher, and no major injuries. From Irish Jaguar, Miles Jack at 5, trade for an impact edge rusher. And Ryan O. learns how to smile. From Cody,
that ain't happening.
Better Wi-Fi, Lazy Boy seats, fully functioning cloning machine. Welcome to Duval, John Miller, and J.J. Watson. From Brian, free beer Fridays, extra hour of Jaguars today, blockbuster trade up in the draft getting Ramsey and Jack. From Zariah, we got Miles Jack, Fowler to be number 3 overall caliber, Sean Oakman in the 5th. And has a Hall of Fame career. From Michael, being able to pull off Jack Spence and Jalen Smith in the first 3 rounds of the draft. From Nick, Miles Jack, Shalik Calhoun, full recovery for Fowler. And from Demetrius, draft Miles Jack to solidify the linebacker position, bring in Courtney Upshaw for depth at Leo, and stay healthy.
Oh, hell yeah, and Miles Jack, Noah Spence, Jalen Smith in that order right there, bam, bam, bam.
That'd be sweet.
We talked about it the other day. Somebody asked us, I can't remember what forum, on Twitter it might have been, on the Facebook page, but would you take Noah Spence or would you take Jalen Smith in the second round? If you had to choose between those guys, Ryan, I just asked you that, and you agreed with me, Noah Spence would be the guy, right?
Yeah, they need people to help you right now.
Right, and I'm willing, look, they may not feel comfortable enough about him off field. Maybe they will, maybe they won't, to even take him in the second round. We don't know, but I'm willing to take that chance in the second round, particularly if you had Miles Jack in that, with that combination. Now, if you go Bosa in the first round, maybe you're looking to do something else in the second round. Harder to say, but without knowing who that first round, that first round pick would be, I would go Spence over Jalen Smith right now. Jalen Smith, you don't even know if he's going to be able to play again, period. Mm-hmm. And certainly don't know if he's going to be anywhere approaching his prior level of play at Notre Dame.
Yeah, I mean, the developments during the combine were not good news for him.
Right. Talk of nerve damage.
Yeah, yeah. Because, but, you know, a lot, it just sounds like stating the obvious, but a lot of what they do in the second round will depend on what they're doing in the first round. So, I mean, it's going to be fascinating to see what they do with that fifth pick, given what they've done in free agency.
All right, here's a couple of them. Take them in the spirit, I'm sure, in which you're intended, okay, on the Facebook page.
I'm guessing they're not positive.
Les said, number one, not hear O'Halloran's negativity anymore. Number two, no injuries. Number three, no arrests. So that was one. That's fine. And then from Don and Fuego, Marquise Lee, number one, becomes magically healthy and our third stud receiver. Hashtag albino tiger roars. Number two, draft defensive speed. Hashtag all jacked up for Miles Jack. And number three, hashtag Jaguars today expands to 4 hours and drops the big angry leprechaun, Ryan O'Halloran, which actually is a tremendous name for you. O'Halloran instead of O'Halloran. But did you take those in the spirit in which they were intended?
Thank you for listening.
There you go. There you go. We appreciate you listening. Here's a name. Damon brought this up. Still trying to sign free agent linebacker / defensive end. And in parentheses, he put Jason Jones. I can't remember. It may have been Damon. It was somebody on Twitter yesterday asked me specifically about Jason Jones. My reply to that was he played it on a Detroit line with a ridiculous amount of talent around him, right? You had Sue. You had Ansa. You had Nick Fairley. And he never really did a whole lot. Now, you can argue that they were making all the plays, right? But I would think they're drawing a ton of attention. And to me, I mean, you know, Jason Jones is the guy. I don't know. Not somebody that gets you all that excited.
I think he's just the guy, too. But I think the Jags, look, when we came in on Monday and you asked me how I felt about the Robert Ayers thing, and I said my first reaction was 0-2 for the Jags, that they swung at Olivier Vernon, they swung at Robert Ayers to try to get some help at that Leo position and didn't get either guy. I think it's still important for this team to find a veteran to play that Leo position alongside Dante Fowler Jr. And if Jason Jones is that answer, it's not the answer I would have wanted going into this offseason either, but I don't think it's a bad idea to bring in a veteran guy at that position. They just don't have enough guys to play it right now. Right now you're talking about Fowler, Ryan Davis, and Chris Smith. Is that really what you want to go into the season with? That, and I know they got the draft coming up too, but I would love to have a veteran in there.
You hit that issue on the nose. Is okay. They didn't miss out on Olivier Vernon and could say, well, that would have been a luxury, but we have these two guys who are, you know, up and comers are proven. They're thin at that position right now. So what I think they're going to do is, you know, in the next month or after the draft, you know, there'll be some more cuts and they'll bring in, you know, a guy who's 29 or 30 who's available for a reason. They're probably not going to be out there in a trade because you don't want to trade for a pick that a guy that another team deals expendable. Just wait for him to get cut. So, I mean, they'll add a body or two, but, you know, what kind of impact they expected to make would be minimal.
All right. What do you have coming up in the next few days in the TU?
We got on Sunday sort of developing a new NFL Sunday page, which should debut. They include some NFL notes, the Jaguar Insider, et cetera. Starting next Tuesday, Hayes Carlion is going to have his Draft Insider all the way up until the draft every Tuesday. And then I will be in Boca Raton next Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday for the owners' meetings, and we'll be providing coverage from there.
Nice.
And one more thing.
Yeah.
Hayes and Philip Heilman from our staff, they'll be at UF Pro Day on Tuesday in Gainesville.
Okay.
Which would be Hargraves.
Wonder what time everything gets underway. Maybe we'll catch up with Hayes on Wednesday if we can do that.
Tuesday those pro days are like usually in the 10 to 12:30 range.
Right. So yeah. you want to make sure he gets a chance to see everybody and do everything that they're going to do. But maybe we'll check in with you from the owners' meetings next week as well. He is Ryan O'Halloran. Check him out.
That was fun.
At Ryan O'Halloran. He had a good day today. He really enjoyed himself. Ryan O'Halloran, as the case may be. But there you have it. That does it for Jaguars today. Happy St. Paddy's Day. Enjoy the NCAA tournament, of course, which will be tipping off here, what, about 10 or 15 minutes after 12?
12:10, I do believe.
12:10
is the first tip.
I hope you got your brackets filled out. You can keep going. I think the 10:10 XL contest locked at 10 till 12 today, but you can go to ESPN.com if you want to enter their bracket challenges. Search for the Jaguars today bracket in there, and you can compete against us for bragging rights and T-shirts and the like as well. For Fat Tony, for Ryan O'Halloran, for Tyler Devitt and Joe Fortunato, I'm Mike Dempsey signing off. We'll say hello to the boys of XL Primetime next on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
You guys have a good day. Peace.